It's a communion service. My last message was a challenge to the church to stick to the Word of God. We talked about the prophet, the foolish prophet, who did not stick to the Word and got himself in a whole lot of trouble. This morning is very short. We're going to be moving to communion service. And James read a text in Mark, chapter 14. And one of those verses I'd like to point out to you, Mark chapter 14, verse 25. But let's pause for a moment of prayer just to focus our minds as we open the Word for a few moments. Father, thank you for the Word of God. As we're gathered for this last time in the near future, we ask for your Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. We're all thinking about moving today. In some way or another, whether it's friends that have moved away, come back to visit, or whether it's friends that are moving away, or whether it's a move you're contemplating. It's been said that the Seventh-day Adventist Church is a great Advent movement. And sometimes in jest, because of people moving here and people moving there, we certainly are not the only people that pack moving vans and go other places. Not the only churches with pastors who pack up and go to new assignments. But the Advent movement has also been called an Advent movement because the Church of God is not meant to be a stationary organization. Now, I'm not talking about the kind of movement that takes place when a pastor packs up or a church member packs up and goes to a new location or a new job opportunity. I'm talking about the kind of movement that should be the rhythm of the Christian's life. Because after all, the Bible says, or the Bible indicates, that we are a people following a God on the move. One of our favorite books, the book of Daniel, talks about God on the move. I want you to go with me in your Bibles briefly to, I told you to go to Mark. We're going to come back to Mark. Go with me to Daniel chapter 7. I want you to notice this incredible insight into God on the move. Daniel chapter 7, verse 9. Daniel 7, verse 9. I watched till thrones were put in place, and the Ancient of Days was seated. His garment was white as snow, the hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was a fire flame, its what? Wheels, a burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. 1,000 thousands ministered to him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated and the books were opened. Interesting picture of motion and movement in heaven's sanctuary. We're not going to talk about the judgment this morning, but just noticing that in God, that for God himself, movement is a part of who he is, a part of how he operates, a part of what he does. And so in this judgment picture in Daniel 7, there's movement in the sanctuary. In fact, God's throne is described as having wheels because it has the capacity of movement, of transition. Ezekiel pictures God's working as a wheel within a wheel, that very complex vision that Isaiah has about wheels with eyes and wheels with this very intricate, almost clock-like workings. I'm talking about not the digital clocks, but the old clocks with all the gears and spinning wheels. The imagery that Ezekiel sees of God's work is that kind of moving imagery. I was thinking this week about my life. And it's a little different being in the moving phase because I'm not doing as much pastoral work as... Now, moving's part of pastoral work, but it's more manual labor than it is pastoral work. And so it's just a new, sort of a new perspective. I mean, I've moved before, but it's a new, not a new perspective, but it's an altered way of living and looking in the last few weeks. But part of my thinking has been realizing that sometimes I'm content to operate in my comfort zone when God may be calling me on. You know, Abraham was living in Ur of the Chaldees, right? And then God did what? Said, leave. And so what did he do? He moved. So in the Christian faith, the faith of Scripture is founded on this moving concept that we move out to do what? To follow God's will. In fact, the 144,000 going all the way to the end of to after the end of time, the Bible characterizes them as following the Lamb what? Wherever he goes. So we have God's throne pictured as a throne with wheels on it, moving here, moving there. We have God's work pictured as this intricate clock-like precision of movement within movement taking place. And then we have his own people depicted as these moving, transient people. Hebrews 11, we'll go there in a minute. But then we have the 144,000, this very unique group of people that follow God at the end of time, depicted as continuing this following. Jesus says in John 10, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. I want to challenge you first this morning. Are you following? Or are you simply content to be in your safe zone? Is the definition of what's right for you what you're comfortable with? Is the definition of what's right with you what you've sort of grown into? Or are you willing to follow? That is, move from the place you're at into the place God wants you to be. Are we moving Christians? Are we living active in every sense? Making personal changes? Reaching out to those around us? In other words, are we moving beyond? I found, as I thought this week, how many times that I've been more content to be with my friends with whom I share commonalities and less content to be with people with whom I have differences. But do you know where we're needed most? Among the people with whom we have differences. That's movement in the Christian life, right? We need to live in motion, and that motion includes spiritual motion. That motion includes moving into the lives of people with whom we have little or nothing in common in order to build relationships for the kingdom. That's the first kind of movement I want to mention this morning. The second kind of movement I want to mention is in Hebrews 11. So go with me to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. And I'll touch briefly on this passage, Hebrews 11. And we're going to go to the very end of the chapter. But before we do that, go with me to verse 13. These all, speaking of the patriarchs and the men and women of faith in the past, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them where? Afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were what? Strangers and pilgrims, a people where? Living temporary because they're on the move. Anchored in the promises, moving forward toward the kingdom. Jesus in Mark chapter 1, is his disciples came to him. And stay in Hebrews 11, but I just want to mention this, thinking about movement. Hebrews 11, the patriarchs on the move. Jesus' ministry, the disciples said to him, everyone is looking for you. Mark chapter 1, verse 37. Jesus answered, let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also. Because for this purpose I have come forth. So here is Jesus himself saying movement is an integrated part of the Christian life. Spiritual movement, moving in growth, soul-winning movement, moving in outreach, that is integral, integrated into Christian living. We are a people on the move. Sometimes that means physically moving. But more than that, it means that I am in growth, spiritually, relationally, moving forward to the coming of Jesus and moving to bring as many people with me as I can. Amen? So first, growth is where I'm going. And in that process, growing spiritually and growing relationally, building the kingdom through that growth. The second movement I want to look at will come to us when we move from chapter 11 to chapter 12. Let's begin that transition, though, in Hebrews 11, verse 39. All these, having obtained a good testimony, that is, they lived a godly life by faith, did not receive the promise. What was the promise they're looking forward to? In verse 14, those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a what? A homeland, and that homeland is, verse 16, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to call them to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. They didn't reach the city yet. They're still waiting to reach the city. Pilgrims and strangers here, moving toward the city, and yet they haven't reached it yet. The Bible finishes chapter 11 with these words, God having provided something better for who? Us, those who are living and reading this passage, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. In other words, if you're a human being living here reading this passage, the work of God is not finished. And it's a work in motion, spiritually. Me moving from where I am into where God wants me. Me moving out into from where I'm comfortable into the lives of others with whom I'm less comfortable to build relationships for the kingdom. But then chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 brings us to the second kind of movement I want to call your attention to this morning. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is what? Set before us. Forward motion, forward running, race readiness requires a laying off what's holding us back. That's the second kind of movement. One is moving into where God wants you. One is moving to the people God wants you. The other is moving away from where you are. The other is laying off those weights so you can move with efficiency. The other is walking away from the holdbacks so that you can move with freedom. Two kinds of movement, moving into God's will, and the other kind, moving away from those things that hold us back. And in that context, Paul says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, the one who gets us started in motion and the one who brings us to the end of the race successfully, who for the joy who was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, and through that journey has left us an example that we should follow this Savior in motion. Our final verse brings us around to today's special service, communion. Mark chapter 14, our scripture reading for today, talking about this motion, I want you to notice how communion actually celebrates this forward movement toward the kingdom, and that motion is really an integral part of communion service. Notice what Jesus said, "This is my blood," verse 24, "of the new covenant, which is shed for many. Assuredly, I say to you," Mark 14:25, "I will no longer drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." Hebrews 11, they're looking for what? A kingdom, a mansion, a dwelling place, not here, that God has built. Jesus says, "I'm not eating this fruit again, drinking of this fruit of the vine, until we meet together." In other words, the communion service enshrines the concept of movement in the Christian life from where I am toward the kingdom of God, where we, you and I, by God's grace, will one day celebrate as a united family in the accomplished mission of being reunited together in the kingdom of heaven. So what two things do you need to think of today? Do we need to think of today when it comes to movement? Moving away from our holdbacks, dropping the weight so we can move with efficiency, and moving into God's will for us and into the lives of those we can impact for the kingdom. That's today's message on movement. So I want to challenge you, as you go back first to the men's meeting area down the left hall, or the ladies' area in the fellowship hall, or to the library for foot washing at Seventh Avenue. We practice foot washing. Jesus gave us that example. John 13 says to follow that. And if you're a guest here today, you're welcome to participate. We're happy to show you the ropes. Or you're welcome to simply watch and wait. And then we go into the more traditional and commonly part of the practiced part of the service. That is the communion. We partake of the bread and the wine. And that is open communion at Seventh Day Adventist. So any believers welcome to join us in partaking of that service. So you can participate in all or whatever part you're comfortable with this morning. And we're glad to have you. So moving into that part, and as you move into that part first where we celebrate the ordinance of humility, washing each other's feet, I want you to think about movement in your life. Where are you moving from? Where are you moving to? Are you unloading the baggage so you can move with efficiency? And pray for each other that you can be engaged in that movement. Number two, as we leave this place after the service, I want you to continue thinking, how am I moving into God's will? How am I moving out of the places where God wants me to move? With that, let's pray God's blessing on the ordinance of humility, and then we'll break for that part. Then we'll come back and celebrate the Lord's Supper together. Father, we're going to share in this very unique and special service that reminds us of our call to serve one another. And I pray for your blessing on this service, that as we share together in these moments of very personal time, that you would help us to see how we can move into your will and away from the things that hold us back. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so gentlemen, down the hall to your left.